Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. No matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Hey there, everyone. We are in the third week of our Holy Man podcast journey, and it has been fun to hear some of the conversations that we have been having in our life groups. And just, I actually talked to Jeff Halstead here the other day, a long lost new lifer that had to move away, and he's actually listening to the podcast in Des Moines, Iowa. And so it's just cool to hear that we men are getting into these things a little bit and having great conversations as we can try to figure out how to be holy men. Can you imagine when all of us men who are looking for God to help us on this journey of becoming holy men, if we actually start to make progress on that journey, God be the glory if that continues to happen in our lives. Hey, but this week, I'm bringing up another, what I think is a relevant topic for us men, and I say that because of the number of conversations that I've had with many of you on this topic that we're going to get into. And it's within this theme that we're talking about over the first 8 weeks here, with the idea that we men, we can't control everything as we want to, so how do we influence things in life with our faith? So we're going to be doing that today, and we'll be looking into the topic of family dynamics. You know, we all long for bliss within our families, no matter what our families look like. We all have different looking families, but we are going to figure out how we can do that. We would love ongoing joy and peace within our families, but as we know, we can't control things within our families. If you're married, how good are you at controlling your wife? That could be a fun conversation all by itself. If you have kids, what about them? How good are you at controlling your kids and making them be exactly what you want them to be? How about can you control your parents or your in-laws, other extended family? You see where I'm going with this. We can't control our family members, but can we influence them? Can we influence them to help them and us be more blissful in our homes and within our families? So that's going to be our conversation for today. It's hopefully going to be a great conversation. And to add some fun to our conversation today, you're just not going to be hearing from me, but instead I brought in a special guest to talk some things over with me here today. He's an expert on our subject today. Zach Poitras is with me today. Is that true?
No.
You're not an expert on this topic. Zach Poitras is with me today. He's on staff here at New Life, leading our hospitality team and also leading the Blessings in the Backpack ministry and getting food into the kids in the community who need to have some food. Zach, it is good to have you with me today.
It's great to be here.
Zach, you've listened to a couple of these podcasts, and you understand the theme that we're talking about here. And but Zach, before we get started, since we're talking family dynamics, not everybody listening might know your family. So can you just tell a little bit about what the dynamic is of your family, wife, kid? What do you have going on?
So I have been married to a wonderful woman named Sawyer for 12 years. Our journey actually started in high school, where we had our first kid in high school. So that's a little bit different from most journeys. And then we had a boy. What is he? He's 5 years difference, 8 years difference, something like that. And then we decided to adopt another child. So we have an adopted child, two of our own. So we stopped at three. And so we have a semi-big family.
And do you have any parents or in-laws or anything like that living nearby or that you're interacting with regularly?
So lucky for my kids, both of them have grown up with both my parents and Sawyer's parents in town.
Yeah, that's huge. That's different. And for those who don't know my family, my wife and I have been married for 21 years, and I have four kids. Andrew, my oldest, is in college, is a sophomore in college. My youngest, Daniel, is an eight-year-old. And then I have two girls who are in their teen years. So, but my parents are both passed away. Daniel did not get a chance to meet my parents very much. But my older kids got to spend time with them, but they both passed away. Karen's parents, although they're in Hawaii right now enjoying the sunshine on vacation, they do live here in town. It's great having them here for the kids to have at least one set of grandparents here. So Zach, as we talk about this topic, and our wives know that we're talking about them in this topic today, so we do need to tread a little bit lightly on this, or else we'll be on the couch for the rest of the month. But Zach, you know the premise of this podcast, which is we can't control all of life around us. We'd like to, but we can't control everything. And so we're going to talk about how our families, how the lack of control. So in regards to your family, Zach, tell me a little bit about your lack of control of your family as you understand it. There's certain, let's talk about your wife first. Are you able to control Sawyer?
No. And funny, my characteristic is definitely I like to control. It's one of those things I feel like I need, and there's a strength in control. But my wife is also a leader in the community and in our household, so it's sometimes a power struggle for us.
Yeah, yeah, I bet there is. Does she have any quirks, as we might call them, little things that she does that just for 13 years has come to drive you a little bit crazy, but yet it's just who she is?
Oh yeah, she loves to abuse automobiles. She lets them run out of gas, she does not clean them, and so that's one of her.
Yeah, yeah. Just last night, or two nights ago, Karen was getting ready to go to Rapid City the next day, and she gave me one of those looks and saying, you know what, the car probably needs gas, and so I went over and...
Good man.
Yeah, filled it up as well. My wife has another one. She doesn't like to finish little things. Like, for instance, in my kitchen, it's not too often that you'll go in there that the cupboard doors, there's at least one or two cupboard doors that are just left open.
Yep.
And so it's just funny like that. She'll leave things open, and so... we can't control them. I'd love to be able to control Karen and help her to finish little things like that so that I don't hit my head on the cupboard doors when I come into the kitchen.
Yeah.
But we can't control them. What about your kids? Are you able to control your kids?
No. No, and the older they get, the less controllable they are by far. The less they need us, the less they need our guidance, as it would seem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, you know, as far as choosing friendships and things like that, it'd be great to be able to control who they hang out with at different times. Because as we know, we definitely can't control other people's kids. At least we can have a little bit of control on our own. Andrew being away at college, I just have to trust that he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But that's way out of my control.
Yeah.
And of course, with extended family, you know, Karen's parents are amazing. But I would love to be able to control them that they don't leave and go to Hawaii because that went my childcare for a little while. But we get, I'm sure you feel the same way at certain times. You can't control your parents or your in-laws, correct?
No, you can't.
So with that being said, and I think I invite all of you guys, if you get together some life groups, to have conversation about the fun things about not being able to control our family and just some of the things that we get into because of that. So here, again, if we're going to be holy men and raising, spiritually leading our families to be more and more holy and to find some peace and joy in our families, if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to be godly husbands and dads and family men, well, let's talk a little bit about how we might then be able to influence the family who we can't control to hopefully lead our homes and families to a more blissful time period. So, Zach, do you have any specific ways? I know that you've been following Christ for a while. You've been doing the family thing for a while. Do you have any specific ways that you have found that work for you in your family?
Especially with my kids, asking and having a relationship rather than just telling seems to work a lot better. I know that a couple of my daughters are pretty gentle, so if I authoritatively tell them to do something, they shut down and tend to not want to do it. My son's a little different, but he likes a good relationship too.
Isn't it amazing though that each kid is so different. And how some, you know, you work with one of the kids and they respond one way, and you work with another kid and they respond the other way. And again, you'd love to control that situation and have it be exactly the same every time so that you can be some consistency. But I know your kids as well. I hang out with them sometimes, and they are so different.
Yeah. Learn the way I teach. That's not the way it is. It's teach the way people learn.
Yeah, that's for sure. And with Sawyer, is there any way that you I know that she's a great spiritual leader as well, but is there anything that you do with your wife as far as being able to bring your relationship into influence her and her walk as well?
Our relationship has grown immensely just over in the last couple of years, but obviously we still have a lot to work on. The way I approach her and the way I say things and the way, you know, sometimes I don't ask, I just tell, those things can be better. But as far as just being more gentle to her and not expecting things, but actually communicating has been amazing.
Yeah. Communicating is such a hard thing. It's an art, and if there's any man out there that's perfect at it, then we're willing to come sit and watch you for a while.
Yeah.
But that could be a challenge. Well, Zach, are there any Bible passages that you go by that helps guide you in some of this journey that you're on and trying to help influence your family for Christ?
Yeah, anytime, I'll just say this as a general, anytime that God talks about leaders and men, a lot of times you're going to hear God asking us to control ourselves. God, our number one thing that he likes to tell us is control your actions. One that I was looking at today was Proverbs 25:28. A person who does not control his temper is like a city whose walls are broken down. And I feel like in my household, if my anger is leading me, it feels like the walls are down. Everybody in the family is shut down or wants to get away from me. But if you lead with gentleness, everybody wants to be there. They want to hear what you have to say. They actually respond the way they should.
Wow. And you figure, you know, how many times in Scripture do we see that God is slow to speak, slow to become angry? Doesn't mean he doesn't get angry.
Yeah,
there
right.
is the right time for it. But like you said, if you lead with the anger, then it's going to cause some problems. But then what you said in the flip side, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, that gentleness, the kindness thing, those are gifts of the Spirit that we could actually use. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I try to using and influencing my family is the idea that I just need to live it. That if I want my family to, you know, I know that if my family is guided by the Holy Spirit, if we are all living as good Christian boys and girls, life's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I'm the leader of this family, spiritual leader of this family, then I need to first of all live it. A passage that the Apostle Paul shared, and it's a cool passage that he's talking about how he leads the church in Thessalonica. But he says it like this. It's in 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 11. He says, "You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers." So he's just basically saying, I'm living the life devoutly. I'm trying to be the best godly man I can. But then he continues, he said, "And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children." And so there it goes, brings in that family dynamic picture of how should we as fathers treat our children. And then he continues, he says, "We pleaded with you, we encouraged you, and we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy." So Paul, in sharing this imagery of how fathers should lead their family, he first says, "I'm devout. I lead my family by living it." And then beyond that, I'm going to encourage my family then to also live it. Mm-hmm. Zach, I know you do that. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I know both you and I are about is our kids come to church.
Yep.
They're involved in worship. How is that? Why is that important to you? Why do you see that being important?
Spiritual disciplines for everyone is a major theme of the Bible and also of every leader in the church. And so if you can teach your kids spiritual disciplines young, hopefully they can just grow off of those things instead of trying to learn them later in life, and they've missed out on those opportunities.
Now, when you say spiritual disciplines, I know what you're talking about. Just for a couple of those guys that might not know exactly what a spiritual discipline is, what are a couple of those things that you think of that are important?
Yeah, so if you think of your daily life, you go to work, And that's one of your disciplines. You know you have to make money. You spend time with your kids. You spend time with your wife. Those are disciplines in your life. So as Christians, God calls us to be in His Word, worshiping, whether that's corporate worship or being, you know, wherever you are personally, praying, being in a gathering of Christians. You know, just those are the things that you set apart time to sacrifice to God to grow closer to Him.
And we call them disciplined because, like you said with work, it's a disciplined thing. We do this on a daily basis as part of our walk with God.
Yep.
So that's cool, you know, so and leading our family and doing it ourselves and leading our kids to and our wives to be part of that. Mm-hmm. Another thing for me, Zach, I don't know if you've if you're an expert at this yet, but one of the things that Jesus demonstrated us with this is this idea of humility. Mm. I am not perfect at this yet. A passage of scripture that Karen and I had at our wedding, because it was just one of my most favorite passages in all scripture. It's out of Philippians chapter 2, and Paul is talking about how we need to follow the example of Christ, who gave up Himself completely. And so the early part then of chapter 2, he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship together with the Spirit? So if you're connected to Jesus, then what? Paul says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Mm-hmm. Zach, as you hear that in this idea of humility or sacrifice or thinking of others more important than yourselves, if we as men allow God to lead us into our families, how do you see that benefiting our families?
If you can lead your family in humility, you will be able to love on your family without labeling them whatever. So if your kids are doing something wrong, if you come out in anger, you're just going to see that anger. With the humility, you're able to see through the situation and lead the way you need to lead. Lead as if God was there, because Jesus led not out of anger or out of any other, but out of humility.
Absolutely. And if we do that, you know, as you picture this happening in your own family, in comparison to where if I'm letting my pride lead me and therefore I'm being selfish in my actions, I think we can all see very quickly that that's not going to have a good response.
Yeah.
If that, especially if it's my wife or even my kids. I think of some moments where I've had with my kids, where if my pride, if my selfishness is leading, it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So tell me, Zach, if we allow humility to lead us into our family, what's the response going to be?
Kind of the thing I said earlier, the gentleness, the whatever. But when you come into humility, you're taking yourself out of the equation and you're focusing on those people as of what they need, not of what you need personally. So your humility is saying, this person or my God is more important, and I'm going to put myself there for them without what I need, which is not the way we look at life at all.
It's really not. I mean, you can think about the control influence thing. Mm-hmm. Usually, when I'm trying to control things, it's out of my selfishness.
Yep.
And just it's just the opposite. If I'm being humble and leading out of my humility, then I'm going to be, in considering them more important, I'm going to be influencing them with that humility. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to bring peace into that situation. Yeah. A lot of times it does, and potentially joy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Zach, why don't we get that? Why don't we just automatically do that? Because we know better, because we've experienced the other side as well, the bad side of when we don't get that right. And that's going to lead us, Zach, here's another question for you. How good are you at forgiveness? Well, let me put it this way. Have you ever messed up in either in how you encounter Sawyer or your kids? Have you ever had one of those moments where you just blew it as a Christian man?
Yeah, I've had several. Just the other day, I was cleaning up the shoes, and I seen that we had 10 or 12 pairs of sandals, and there's snow on the ground outside.
Yeah.
So I decided to pick up all the sandals, put them in the middle of the room, to remind everyone that it's no longer summer and that everybody should put their sandals away. And my wife's response was, why couldn't you ask me to do that? I'm not a child. You basically told me to do that.
Huh.
And my response was, why didn't you just put the sandals away? Instead of saying, I'm sorry, that's not the way I should have communicated with you, I'll be humble.
Dude, man, you just like mentioned some of my mess ups as well, where I just think this is going to be the good way to do it. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, it was not the good way.
No.
And so tell me then why, you know, the concept of forgiveness, you know, mm-hmm. we love it when we hear that God forgives us.
Mm-hmm.
How important is forgiveness in a relationship when we blow it?
I think it's super important. As humans, we react because we feel justified. I felt justified that I was doing something right for the family, trying to keep the house clean. But what I didn't realize is that I made somebody else feel not that way by the way I reacted. So, you know, now today I've forgotten about the situation. We patched it up last night. But once that was done and over with, all of a sudden everything could go back to yeah. normal. And the longer you hold out, the longer things will not go to normal.
How true that is. I mean, even if you're not talking about it for a couple of days, mm-hmm. that little tension still in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And forgiveness, when we are willing to be humble enough mm-hmm. to admit, all right, I blew it. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Man, how I can just lift that off our shoulders so quickly.
And how much better you can get at doing that, and how you see your relationship, you're not stuck on things all the time. You're not bringing things up months down the road. Things can move swifter, and you can have better times of just
absolutely
peace in the house.
And also for me, the times where I've blown it, and I'm willing to acknowledge it and ask for forgiveness, I don't know about you, Zach, but it helps mm-hmm. me to do better the next time.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be in that situation again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps me to think it through the next time and hopefully be able to lead my family better.
Yep.
The last thing I see in a lot of families when they get this right, and Karen and I have done this at different times. We haven't done it lately,
mm-hmm.
and we probably, as I was thinking about this, it's probably something that we need to do again. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press on. It's Paul saying, you know what? I'm not the perfect Christian yet, and I want to get things better. Well, I think for all of us in our families, we want things to get better.
You should.
So Paul says, press on.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I've seen work for us at different times when we do it is to set family goals,
mm-hmm.
to have a conversation with the family and set it out in front of us. Where do we want to get to? What kind of relationships do we want to get to? And what things do we need to change in our relationships if we want to get better? Zach, could you see how that could potentially work in your family as well?
Yeah, me and Sawyer have conversations about our relationship and our family goals, but rarely do we ever talk to our kids about it. But I think goals for any part of your life should be important. Where you're going in your work, where you're going with your relationship with God, anything that you do, and your hobbies, I guarantee you have goals. So if your hobbies are important, why isn't your family the most important? And I think that's an important step that me and my wife need to take with our family.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we've done it a couple times. We haven't done it lately. And so I want to mention it to Karen. Let's sit down and have a family get together and just lay out what are our goals. Kalane is getting ready to start a job here coming up, and so that's going to change our family dynamics. So anytime that happens, to rethink as a family, how can we best live for Christ, bring honor and glory to God in our family, because it's going to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zach, I'm glad you joined me today. It's always fun. I know that our wives spend a lot of time together, and
mm-hmm.
so it's good for you and I to have conversations once in a while to figure out how can we, as godly men, lead our families better and make our home life better for us.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, when you perfectly figure it all out, I'm going to come hang out with you more so that I can see how you and Sawyer are just perfect in your relationship.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully, for those of you who are in life groups, you're going to have a great conversation on this as you, again, try to figure out. You can't control everything, especially your wife, your kids. How can you then lead them or influence them as you become more and more of a holy man? All right, guys, have a great day.